Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Speaking of Piedmont Medical Center, what do you think we're going to talk about today? Medicine. Yeah, we are. We have a guy here that I just happened to meet a few weeks ago. He's relatively new to the community, I think. Dr. Gangu Malasana, and he's a cardiologist. And we're going to talk today about something that you won't believe is even available. But today in the world of medicine, technology, and how you can now repair part of the heart without even opening up your chest, to me, is unbelievable. We're going to learn about it together. Well, Doc, welcome here. Welcome to Straight Talk, your first time, right?
Yeah. Thank you for having me, Mr. Manning.
Tell me a little bit about you. What's your background?
So, as you said, my name is Gangu Malasana, and I'm an interventional cardiologist, but also I'm passionate about structural cardiology, which is dealing with heart valves and also, like, you know, other defects in the heart itself. I have been in practice since 2015. I was in Southern Illinois, Carbondale, and I was leading a program, the TAVR program in Carbondale. And then, you know, like I said, you know, Rock Hill made the calling, and so we moved here mainly for family reasons. And I'm here and part of the TAVR program that is up and coming and growing. And I think we can talk about the aortic stenosis and TAVR much in detail here. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, listen, tell me, what do you mean by interventional cardiologist? What does that mean?
Like I was saying, cardiology has become so specialized and intricate. Interventional cardiology deals with putting stents into your heart arteries to open up the blood flow. This is what we do in the setting of a heart attack or heart blockages that we find on stress testing or cardiac imaging. More like you can think of myself as a plumber. That's what I like to tell.
Plumber. Yeah. Woo. Okay. Well, so TAVR is something we're going to be focusing in on here today. Okay. And this is where it defies my understanding of how technology is really revolutionized medicine, because you're going to tell me now that you've got, with this TAVR technology, you can basically repair a big part of the heart without ever cutting somebody open.
You're absolutely right. So just to kind of a little background, our heart has two sides, the left side and the right side. The left ventricle is the main pumping chamber of your heart. The left ventricle, it pumps the blood through an outflow valve called aortic valve. Okay. Normally, it opens wide open when the heart squeezes, pumps the blood into the body. But with age, calcium can get deposited on it, and those doors don't open up well. Then, like a creaky door, it doesn't open up fully. So less blood comes out, and one may start noticing chest pain or tightness, shortness of breath, fatigue, swelling in the feet, feeling lightheaded or dizzy. Some people actually stop doing things because they know they don't have the same energy anymore to do the same tasks. But we're not a problem. So it is something that is kind of a gradual in onset. So people sometimes kind of mistake it for, you know, maybe I'm a year older, I'm a few years older, maybe that's why I'm slowing down. That in fact, the aortic stenosis or the aortic valve narrowing is probably causing this. Conventionally, you know, we used to take care of this with open heart surgery, like you just said, until about 10, 11 years ago. But now we can take care of this with a procedure called transcatheter aortic valve replacement, or a TAVR procedure. It is a minimally invasive surgery where we go through the groin predominantly, put the valve where put a new valve in the aortic position, deploy it, and then we take everything out, we suture the arteries. We do these procedures on a Thursday. Most people leave home the next day.
Jeez.
Yeah.
All right. We've got to stop here. Now, if I were to have this valve in my hand, how big is that valve? Is it an inch? Is it a half inch? Is it, what is it? What size? What size?
So,
size of a quarter?
No, it is about, I would say, at least 1 to 1.5 inch in diameter.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now how do you get something 1.5 inches in diameter into where it's supposed to go through an artery?
That's a great question. So the way it has been designed is the valve comes crimped. It's a fascinating way. The leaflets of this valve are made from a pig or a cow pericardial tissue. Then they're actually hand-sewn into the frame of the valve. And then it is crimped. So then it becomes the size of a thumb or index finger.
Okay.
When we introduce into the artery in the groin, it's the size of a thumb or an index finger. That goes up, and that goes, we put it in the middle of this deceased aortic valve, and we can deploy it by blowing up a balloon inside it. And that's when it takes the shape of the 1.5, 1 inch 2. Right. So, it's pretty incredible technology if you think about it.
So the old valve is on the outside of the new valve?
Correct. It is, the old valve gets pushed outside, and then the new valve and the leaflets begin to function right away. Like after we deploy it, within 10 seconds, the new leaflets begin to function right away. And then we take everything out and we suture.
All right. I mean, I could spend an hour just trying to figure out how this valve works.
Mm-hmm.
Can you make that real simple? I mean, the valve, it has some flaps that open and close?
Yes. So the valve is made up of an outside frame. It's called nitinol. It's made up of nickel and a titanium alloy. The beauty of that is you can crimp it, and then it remembers, it memorizes its form. So when you expand it, it actually blows up to its actual size and stays there.
Jeez.
Inside this are the leaflets that are hand-sewn, and that operate just like your valve that you were born with. When the heart squeezes, these valve leaflets open, let the blood come out into the body, and then they close back.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So we're all different sizes, right?
Yes.
If you're going to put a valve in Renee over here versus a valve into me.
Yes.
I'm sure they got it. So how do you figure out what size to put in there?
Oh, you're asking all, like, really important questions here. Like you said,
not that I want one, but I'm just saying I want to be prepared.
Yeah, God made us different, right?
Yeah,
different,
right?
Sizes and shapes and everything. So what we do is we do a CT scan or a CAT scan of your chest, abdomen, pelvis, so we can actually size the valve to what you need. The different sizes go from, like, a 23 millimeter, 26, 29, and 34 millimeters in size. But we use the CAT scan to accurately size which valve would, Renee, should she need it or should you need it, Mr. Manning. So that helps us also understand, can we do this procedure through the groin? Because in some people, what we notice is there is a lot of plaque buildup in the vessels in the groin. So we can go through the groin. In this situation, we actually go through the neck. The artery in the neck, called the carotid artery. And, we have incredible, success and results with that approach, where we can go through the groin.
So I happen to have a friend who lives here in Rock Hill who is over 7 feet tall. He's huge. Now, if he needed a valve, I'm sure you don't have one in stock. I mean, do you get to a case where you don't have a valve that will fit a particular person because they're too big or too small?
So these valves, especially the balloon expandable valves, you can actually expand it more than the nominal size, so it fits. I've been doing it since 2018, and we have not had any procedure or a patient that we could not find the valve of the size. We can actually accommodate pretty much all sizes. If it's really that large, then we would say, maybe TAVR is not an option. Right. And we discuss as a heart team with our surgeons and say, hey, you will probably have to help with this.
So does a CAT scan tell you also whether the valve will fit through the artery? In other words, could you have somebody who needed such a big valve that their artery wasn't big enough to shove it through there?
Yes, that is another important information that we get from the CAT scan is, are the arteries big enough to actually accommodate this valve going in through the groin? Luckily, if the arteries in the groin are smaller, the arteries in the neck are bigger than the arteries in the groin. So if you can't do it through the groin, we do it through the neck. Yeah.
This is fascinating. Okay. I would love to, I mean, is there like a factory somewhere that builds these valves?
So there are two major companies in this arena. One is Youth Edwards and the other was Medtronic. They definitely have companies either in the U.S. or sometimes in Mexico as well, where they actually hand sew the valve leaflets onto the platform. Yeah.
Do you, as a cardiologist, you see this valve before you insert it into somebody?
Yes, that's also a really good question. That's very important because we actually use a skirt, like an outer skirt on outside of this valve, and we have to make sure that it is pointing in the right direction. So we always check under X-ray machine before we put it into the body.
So you'll know whether the valve is a good valve.
Yes.
Or not. And I'm sure that doesn't happen very often, but it could happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Woo. Okay. So how do you figure out whether the valve is the issue? If I come in and I say, Doc, I'm sweating and, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know what's what. I mean, what do you put me through to figure this out?
So initially when we see them, most people are complaining of symptoms. Like I said, you know, either chest pain or tightness, shortness of breath. They're somewhat fatigued. They stop doing things. They're taking more time to do things for the same job
right.
that had no problem. Then we listen to them during the initial clinic evaluation. This aortic valve narrowing will cause a murmur that you can actually hear with the help of a stethoscope. That is the first sign.
First sign.
And then once we pick that murmur up, we do order an echocardiogram or an ultrasound of your heart that will show us how severe the problem is. It will show the size of the valve area. Normally should be more than 2 centimeters square. But if anything that's less than 1.5, we call it mild narrowing. Anything less than 1, we call it severe narrowing. And that's when usually people present with symptoms. So we do an echocardiogram. That is the first basic evaluation. Once we have that information, we also want to make sure you don't have any heart artery blockages that can also be contributing. And we do that with a heart cath. And once we are done with this, you know, two tests, then we know, okay, the valve is the main issue, not the heart arteries, and then we go from there.
So you're going to go through, I mean, and you're doing all this over at Piedmont Medical Center. I mean, somebody who comes in to your office and you say, I'm not hearing what I want to be hearing, we get you over to Piedmont and we start this testing you're talking
right.
about.
So the initial tests are outpatient. We do the echo on an outpatient basis. But anything that requires a procedure, like a heart catheterization, a CAT scan, for this specific problem, we do it at the Piedmont Medical Center. The TAVR procedure itself, we do it at the Piedmont Medical Center. And then patients get discharged the next day, and then we pick them up in the clinic in a week, and then we take over the care again. So
tell me, how long is this new valve guaranteed for, or how long is it going to last?
That's a very good question. So the TAVR technology itself has been around for like since 2011. And we do have evidence from some of the European data that the valve, the TAVR valve, it lasts up to 10 years at least.
Really?
Almost similar to a surgical valve or even longer. So that's the reason why, in terms of durability, I think it does almost match a surgical valve where we have to do an open heart surgery.
And an open heart surgery based on this kind of technology would only be required in the most extreme of cases? Is that right or wrong?
You're right. So a little bit of history on TAVR was, you know, we started doing these TAVR procedures in someone in 80s and 90s who were considered to be really high risk and prohibitive risk for an open heart surgery.
Right.
And then we noticed the incredible results that that we got out of this TAVR valve. And then slowly we kind of, you know, started doing it in intermediate risk and low risk population, meaning still in their 70s and more than 65 years old. And we are still noticing these excellent results. But there are certain subsects, like young people in their 50s who have often bicuspid valves, or sometimes who may have like an ascending aortic aneurysm associated with a bicuspid valve. Surgery is the first line of choice.
So what is a bicuspid valve?
So normally our aortic valve has three leaflets or three doors. But in some people, two of those doors can be fused. In effect, they're behaving like a two-door valve instead of a three-door valve.
Ah.
That is called a bicuspid valve. It is one of the most common inherited conditions as well.
Inherited.
So what it, yeah, it, you're born with it. So what happens is, because the valve opens a little bit funny and not like, you know, how it should open, it causes the calcium deposition on the valve sooner in their 50s compared to 70s. So they do get into aortic valve narrowing and aortic valve leaking insufficiency in their 50s and 60s. So they're young, and these are sometimes really good candidates to undergo surgery. Also, the bicuspid valves have are a little bit, they're not circular, they're a little bit oval. So all those reasons, there are certain reasons why you have to choose surgery and not TAVR. But the beauty of this is we work as a hot team.
Right.
The interventional cardiologists or the structural cardiologists, the CT surgeons, we work as a team. And when someone comes across to us, we are actually thinking, okay, what's best for the patient, rather than whether we do a TAVR or a surgery or something like that. We want to do what's best.
Well, and I, you know, I don't think enough people really know the quality of the heart team over there at Piedmont and what they're doing over there. I mean, it's... They've been doing open heart surgery over there for 20 years or more, something like that.
Yes.
They're doing all kinds of stuff. I mean, everything, I think, short of a heart replacement, they're doing.
Correct. Except heart transplant, I think, you know, they do all kinds of, you know, surgical aortic valve replacement, mitral valve replacements, you know, incredible. And CABGs, complex patients, yes.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go take our mid-program break and remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, and the Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, and online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. All right, Doc, you're all teed up now. There's your cue card. We do fresh subs and salads. While you're doing TAVRs, we're doing fresh subs and salads here at Substation 2. We get lots of people in here every day. And the way we do it is in these white letters, and we're all going to chime in together at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, 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 garden.
30. It's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
I like the lunch special pricing.
I like the bread, good prices, and location.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
Emergency care close to home. The team at Piedmont Medical Center has the advanced training to handle your medical emergencies, and we're making it easier for you to access care every day. For non-life-threatening problems, online ER check-in is available at all our emergency room locations, meaning less waiting room time, more peace of mind. Simply visit PiedmontMedicalCenter.com, pick a time you want to be seen, and then wait at home while we hold your place. For life-threatening emergencies, call 911. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Relax with a discounted mortgage rate from Founders Federal Credit Union without paying for discount points. For a limited time, don't pay the 1% fee and get the lower rate. And don't forget, Founders never charges for PMI or private mortgage insurance. Unlock your dream home with a great rate and a Founders expert to guide you through the home financing process. Stop by a convenient office location or apply on Founders Online by May 31st to lock in your lower rate. Visit foundersfcu.com/mortgage to learn more. Terms and conditions apply. Membership qualification required. Equal housing lender.
If a big outdoor project is part of your future plans, before you start digging, call 811. Within 72 hours, your underground utilities will be located and marked, and you'll know exactly where it's safe to dig. A quick phone call is all it takes, and there's no charge to find out where potentially dangerous underground cables and lines are located. Before you grab a shovel or start digging in the yard, call 811 at least 3 business days before digging. Remember, if it requires a shovel, it requires a call to 811.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Hit the spot, definitely.
Friends are great, and the company's great, and the food is fantastic. Bread's fresh, and they make my special for me every day.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop, Dr. Gangu Malasama is with us today. He's a cardiologist with Carolina Cardiology Associates, but he is here because his specialty is TAVR, and he does that over at Piedmont Medical Center. And if you missed... If you miss the first 20 minutes of this show, go back and play it back online because it's this technology is just incredible. To think that they can replace a valve in your heart without ever cutting you open is just unreal. So does when somebody comes in and they have all these conditions we were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. is it ever at a point where you need to rush this thing on? Like they can't do this in stages? We got to get you over there now?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we often see how limiting the symptoms are, especially when people are having lightheadedness or passing out. That's a very critical symptom associated with aortic stenosis, which means you don't want to really wait on. And the more extreme example from the recent experience is someone presented almost with passing out to the hospital. And we did the heart cath followed by the echo, which showed critical stenosis. The patient almost had a perioperative situation, meaning almost, you know, to the point where she needed some CPR. We did an emergent balloon aortic valve loplasty, meaning we put a balloon inside the aortic valve, we opened it up, we let her rest over the weekend, and we did the TAVR procedure on a Monday.
Okay.
So she presented to the hospital on a Thursday evening, and we did it on Monday. But this is the more extreme form of it.
Sure.
We rather would not do it this way because the same procedure is much better in terms of risk if it is done electively, meaning ahead of time,
sure.
and where we can plan it. But yes, there are situations where we don't have time.
Gotcha.
We do it very quickly.
So when you have determined mm-hmm. that the valve is the issue, mm-hmm. then do you turn it over to somebody at Piedmont to kind of hold them by the hand and get them through all this? I mean, how does this work?
Great. So the structural heart program has a structural heart team. It's made up of interventional cardiologists like me. There's Dr. Murad Abdul Salam, Dr. Arun Nagabandi is a new addition to the program. We have surgeons, Drs. Barry Chen and Dr. Peter Zakov. And we have anesthesia, Dr. Saket Singh and Dr. Brennerman. But the one person that herds all the cats and keeps it in line and gets everything scheduled is the structural heart clinic coordinator. Paris Blankenship is actually that person who remains most in touch with the patients, tells them, you know, where they need to go, what tests are being done, when they're being scheduled, if they have any questions. The structural heart clinic coordinator is the heart of the program, who runs the show. And we're all in this and working together to do the best thing for the patient.
So the coordinator is going to make sure that the patient
correct.
Gets this test done at this time, gets this test done at this time, tells him when they're going to be scheduled for the surgery, and then bingo.
There you go.
It all comes together.
That's right.
So the follow-up on that, once you've done this, how long do you have to keep your eyes on this patient to make sure that brand-new valve is doing what you want it to be doing?
So typically what happens is when the patient leaves the hospital, we do see them in the clinic in 1 week to make sure that everything else is okay.
Right.
We do follow up with them in 1 month, and we also get an echocardiogram or the ultrasound of the heart to make sure that the valve is working okay, there's no leaks around it or so. And then we do get a follow-up echo in 1 year as well. These are the required echocardiographic assessments we do. Right.
So I got to go back to the actual procedure because it's still fascinating to me. You've got this valve, this man-made valve. You insert it through the groin. You take it up there. You drop it off inside the old valve. What keeps that thing from slipping? I mean...
That is a very good question. So what keeps it from slipping is the same thing that caused the problem in the first place, the calcium. Because the leaflet calcium that is pushed aside actually keeps the valve in place. and so it doesn't move. It doesn't budge.
And that's almost 100% of the time? I mean,
yes. For example, even when it doesn't limit you from doing any activities or anything like that, you can go on doing whatever you want, and the valve will stay in place.
Goodness. Oh, I was going to ask you about that. So if somebody wants to go back out and start playing tennis or jog or whatever, it's okay?
Yes, absolutely okay. So we usually ask them to kind of take it easy for about a week after the procedure. And then after that, they're free to do. They go through a cardiac rehab program, just to gain confidence. And they're free to do anything after that, after 1 week. So.
But you know what this all gets down to is the question of getting a baseline review, I guess, of Carolina Cardiology, at whatever age, 50 or 60 or something like that, to see where you are. I mean, you may think you're just wonderful, and you go in for an exam, and you might find something. But if you're okay, at least they know at that age you're okay, and then go back and look at the file if you come in later and say, I got a problem. Is that about right?
So you bring up a really good point about preventive cardiology. So what has been noted from the studies is that aortic stenosis is roughly prevalent in 3% of the population, severe aortic stenosis, 3% of the population in the U.S., and they are aged more than 75. When you look at any aortic stenosis, the prevalence goes up to 12%, and we are talking about at least 300,000 elderly patients.
Right.
Sometimes when they first come to us for evaluation, they're surprised that they have this severe condition and they did not know about it because they probably have not had any baseline evaluation. Right. So what you say is very important. Keep track of how you're doing on a daily basis. If there is a question or a concern, follow up with your GP or a primary care physician to see if you need a cardiac evaluation. If everything checks out okay, it's great. My always saying is, when it comes to your health, it's better to be wrong. Oh, yeah. So have an evaluation much ahead so that we can pick a problem sooner.
Pay attention to what your body's telling you. And if you think everything is okay, don't assume that it is what you think it is, because you ain't a doc. Get it checked out. All right, Doc, you've done well. Very nice. Appreciate you being on the program. Dr. Gangu Madasana, our guest this afternoon, cardiologist at Carolina Cardiology, and he's the TAVR guy. They've done 36 of these, I understand, at Piedmont Medical Center, and you've done 26 of the 36?
Correct, here.
Good.
And then where I moved from, we've done about 360.
All right, well, that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax You with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Okay, the gang is all here, so it's time now, including Buster. Oh, yeah, the good. Oh, another doctor, Buster. Oh, my, the boys from Caporium. Here we go. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week here at Substation 2. How do we do it? At the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on the radio Monday. Bye.